The thing about having a case, an administrative case, is the way I can describe it for those of you who have not been at the state office administrative hearings, imagine it's similar to a circumstance with an independent hearing examiner, okay? Except it's not someone from the school district, but it's an objective third party who's listening to the case, who's not in district court or the Court of Appeals, but just a separate person to hear the case. For teacher lawyers, oh, we love that. Someone completely outside the fold to listen to the case that we have for our client. But there are certain rules, and you need to know those rules. So,
how do your clients plead?
My clients are caught completely by surprise. They thought they were getting arrested for shoplifting a can of tuna.
What are you telling me? That they plead not guilty?
No, I'm just trying to explain.
I don't want to hear explanations. The state of Alabama has its procedure. And that procedure at this point in time is to have an arraignment. Are we clear on this?
Yes. But there seems to be a great deal of confusion here.
Mr. Gambini.
See, my clients are...
Mr. Gambini.
All the way.
Okay. All I ask from you is a very simple answer to a very simple question. There are only two ways to answer it, guilty or not guilty.
But, Your Honor, my clients didn't do anything.
Once again, the communication process is broken down. It appears to me that you want to skip the arraignment process, go directly to trial, skip that, and get a dismissal. Well, I'm not about to revamp the entire judicial process just because you find yourself in the unique position of defending clients who say they didn't do it. Now, next words out of your mouth are either going to be guilty or not guilty. I don't want to hear commentary, argument, or opinion. If I hear anything other than guilty or not guilty, you'll be in contempt. I don't even want to hear you clear your throat. I hope I've been clear. Now, how do your clients plead?
Okay, so we never want to be in that position, right? Especially on the record. So first, just want to give you an overview of the State Office of Administrative Hearings, which we call SOA, okay? The State Office of Administrative Hearings was created in 1991 by Senate Bill 884, and its purpose was to separate the adjudicative function from the investigative, prosecutorial, and policy-making function in the executive branch. So basically, if you, for a teacher, if your certification is in question, the person hearing the case is not employed by the same entity that's after your certification. So it's something that even optics-wise is refreshing to know that there is a separate forum by which someone can go have their case heard. One thing that I also want to mention is, of course, we do school law. We are the center of the universe, right? But SOA, they hear cases from over 50 agencies, and they have 30,000 hearings a year. I don't even know how that number is possible, but they do. Okay, so we are one of many. That's humbling. But at the same time, you know that you're dealing with seasoned lawyers. The agency's objectives is to conduct fair and objective administrative hearings, provide fair, timely, and efficient decisions and proposals for decision, and offer the opportunity for parties to receive their disputes through mediation or alternative dispute resolution. The reason I entitled this presentation SOA 101, A School Lawyer's Guide, is because for teacher lawyers, we see SOA when we're dealing with educator certification. That's how the school district moves to non-renew, terminate, or even a teacher resigns, that's just the end of our journey with the school district. There's an entirely different journey when it comes to dealing with the State Board of Educator Certification. Now, one of the things that when I was first practicing handling the case before SOA is you have to have a working knowledge of the Administrative Procedure Act. And it seems kind of weird. You're like, but I live for the Texas Education Code. Well, there are more codes and more laws out there than just that. It's Texas Government Code 2001, okay? And it was added by Acts 1993. The procedures for contested cases, this is more for teachers, more so than school districts, but I'll get to that point later. But with contested cases, you'll see in your appendix, thinking under Appendix A, I pull some excerpts at the end of the paper from 2001 in which you would see things that may apply in a contested case hearing. And one of the unique things about SOA is when the judge is hearing the case, they consult the rules and the laws, or they take that in consideration, of the referring agency. And that's another thing I want to say, is that you can't just show up at SOA and say, I want a hearing. It doesn't work like that. Cases that go to SOA have to be referred by the agency. So those petitions that you file with TEA, TEA then sends it over to SOA. So you can't just go directly to SOA and request a hearing on behalf of your client.